sit down, boys. Have I got a treat for you?
Fighting the fight when it comes to technology. We are the knights of the kingdom of geekery. We rise up when it comes to the challenge of discussing all this nerd knowledge. We are the digital soup. We are the digital soup. We bring information with lots of laughter. Tune in now if that's what you're after. Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. With Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
Yeah, everybody, welcome back to Digital Soup, the only podcast that's still partying like it's 1999.
Yep.
I'll never stop. I don't care if Prince is dead or not, but I'm still partying, and I have him in my memories.
I have him in my
I wish I could do a great Prince impersonation. Can you do one real fast, Adam?
I can't.
Aw, man. How about, did you ever see SNL? It's the Prince Show. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
That one guy, why can't I remember his name?
All I think of is Dave Chappelle when he was acting as Prince. And he goes up and he slam dunks a basketball. He takes one hand off the rim. Then he takes the other hand off the rim. And then he slowly floats down from the net.
Was this on his the Dave Chappelle Show or something else?
Okay. Chappelle Show.
Yeah, the Fred Armisen, that was his name. He played Prince, and he never spoke. Well, maybe little teeny words here and there, but basically it was he just mystically appeared in different areas of the room, and he was like always hiding because Prince got scared. You know, thing. It's hilarious. They did like four or five of them.
I've never found Fred Armisen hilarious.
You didn't?
No.
Yeah, he's not hilarious, but there's, you know, some things here and there that are funny. There?
Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, everybody. Enough talking about Prince in 1999 and SNL and whatever Adam was talking about. My name is Jason.
Same topics.
I guess. And joining me in the virtual studio today is that Adam and the usually Dave.
Wait, did I just get a new nickname?
Yeah, that Adam.
That Adam. I better go register the domain name.
Yes, he's so Adam. It could be like a Disney show.
Yeah.
Like Raven.
Yep. So what have you guys been up to this week?
A lot of website work.
I know, man.
Me too, strangely enough.
I didn't do any work, but you guys go first.
Yeah,
what's the website work, Dave? Come on. Dave. Why are you waiting? Let's go, Dave.
Shut up.
Well,
it was a joke.
I went in and split off because no one can spell my last name, so I created a new website for my main photo work and stuff, which I made at usuallydave.com and had to redo a whole new website there. And then
Wait a second. Usually Dave is trademarked by the Digital Soup Podcast.
Yeah,
you're using it for individual websites now?
I'm claiming intellectual property since I am Usually Dave.
And, you know what? I think Adam and I named you Usually Dave, did we not?
We did.
Yeah.
Yes. Something
like but that. It just changed your life.
Yes. It did.
With this lawsuit that's coming. No, and then I put Adventures in Creativity over on its own website at AICpod.com. And so I had to get those built up, migrated over, had some help from Adam to get all the back-end stuff set up. And then I got to work on all the fun front stuff and transferring podcast posts manually and all that fun stuff. So
yes, indeed. I think they're looking good.
Thanks. Yeah, that's about all I did in the evening hours last week.
He didn't sleep. That's all he did.
There's a couple of good sessions that we had to work through. Migrating WordPress sites and stuff like that. So
yeah, we spent a good two nights working on that, and then once that was up and running, I think by Wednesday, then I started on the front end design stuff and laying out everything and how I wanted it. And I think we've got it where I want it now. So
any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Now, did you guys at least get to play some games here and there?
No.
Oh, man.
Well, technically, I did play PUBG on my Xbox, but
I'm talking about together.
No.
No, we didn't. We were hoping to, but it just too much work and had to get that done first. So,
and I was out of town for 2 days as well. So, Jason, you went somewhere, didn't you?
I sure did.
Wait.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah, no. We're going to spoil it because remember Jason tried to be clever in an episode, two episodes ago, like one of our hosts is not going to be here on vacation and I'm not going to say who. And then we just outed
him. I don't think anybody
guessed. Was him.
it was me. Jason. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The family and I, we did go on over to Ocean Isle, North Carolina. The girls got to have their very first beach vacation. It was awesome.
Nice.
We stayed in a condo right on the ocean. Well, not on the ocean, on the beach, I should say.
Did you have any cake while you were there?
Why would I have cake at Ocean Isle? I missed it. What's a joke?
By the ocean. There's a song.
Oh, I have no idea.
You know the song if you
heard it. I don't. Who sang it?
I don't know. It's some popular, fairly modern song in the last three to four years. Oh,
Lee Greenwood?
Yep.
Yeah. He's current.
Yes. Oh, Iggy Azalea?
Millennials love Lee Greenwood.
Just like the Germans love Hasselhoff.
I think Dave just invented a new sentence.
What is it?
Millennials love Lee Greenwood. No one's ever said that before.
You know what? We should hashtag that puppy. See if we can get that trending.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious. No, but the beach vacation was awesome. We were on a condo right on the beach. You literally walked out. We were on the ground floor, so we were able to walk right out. The pool was right there, hot tub, and then if you stepped off of that, you're right into the sand.
You can step off.
Yeah, I did. We stepped off many times. We swam 2 to 3 times a day. We always ended the evening in the pool, though. Nobody wanted to do, except me, wanted to do ocean swimming after dark. I thought it would be awesome, but, you know, the wife, you know, she's all concerned about the kids getting swept away and nobody seeing them.
Did you guys watch Jaws before you went out there?
No, we did not.
That's probably a good thing.
But the very first day, my oldest, she would not go in the water. Even though she's the oldest, she was just, for some reason, she was terrified of jellyfish and, you know, other things that might be there. But after the first day, then she did come out and then she never left. just boogie boarding it like mad. Only her and I were fighting the waves. And we had some great waves. After Wednesday, we had a little bit of a storm over there. And on my personal website, personal Facebook page, I did post up some videos and stuff. I'm sure Dave might have seen them, but I know you didn't. And our listeners can't because they can't see my personal website now. Wow. But it was knocking me around. Like I was telling Adam before we started here, before Dave came on, he was dropping a deuce. Anyways, the waves were so rough that they were tumbling me all around. And this one just smashed me hard into the ground and drug me across the shells that all along the shore, you know, the waves would keep moving, stuff because of the storm up onto the shore. And there was just shells everywhere after the storm. And it just drug me over them, and I got all scraped up on my arm. So, yeah, that's a little souvenir I have for the, you know, from the vacation there.
Well, I tell you what, I've seen Stranger Things.
No, you haven't.
Episode 3.
Yeah, and 4, because somebody couldn't wait and had to watch both of them right away.
So, I mean, we are the only ones that are piece by piece watching this show.
You and I are the only ones, Adam.
That's true.
Dave did finish the entire series. That's why he's able to predict what's going on in later episodes.
Now, while
Dave's
I
played it off like, I know, see, I picked it right. Well, yeah, you watched the episode.
While I don't actually believe that Dave cheated, I do have to give him kudos and props for the correct predictions he made regarding the whole Russians in the mall thing.
They were really spot on, too. I mean, it was almost like he might have watched it.
I did not watch. I swear on whatever holy. I did not watch anything more.
Dave,
in fact, I had to tell.
I did not watch Stranger Things.
Dave,
yeah.
You told us that the three of them, Dustin and the girl and the boy, whatever the other guy's name, were going to be up on the top of the mall taking a look at Russians with guns as they're loading boxes into this storage area.
That is
very abstract for you just to pull out of the air.
I didn't get that specific. No, I did make predictions, but no, I have not watched it. In fact, Adam wrote me about episode 3 and was like, oh man, I feel stupid because of these predictions, blah, blah, blah. And I said, hey, dude, I haven't watched it yet. Don't give me any spoilers. Because we had that week period where we didn't record last week. And so
we did record
waiting.
The episode came up Friday and it actually is doing really good numbers, by the way, but go ahead.
But He goes, "Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, sorry, no, no spoilers. I thought you actually watched it already. Your predictions were so close." I said, "No, I haven't seen it. Don't spoil it for me."
I accused him of this already.
So. After he accused me of it, then he goes, "But I couldn't help it. I watched episode 4 also."
Yeah, well, we had talked about it, but
yeah.
Well, I watched 3 on Friday and then 4 on Saturday because I found out you guys both watched both of them. So
yeah, I watched them,
and I kind of wished I could have watched the rest of them.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it was that old. Good.
Well, maybe how about this? We'll just condense the rest into next week's episode.
I can't watch the rest before next week.
We're right now doing 2 this week. We're right on schedule since we didn't have one last week. Stick to it, man. It'll be worth it in the end, I think.
All right.
So episode 3.
Yes.
What is your, first off, what's the initial impression? What did you guys think overall of this episode?
Well, since we watched 2 of them, it kind of hurts me because I don't know what is. I really enjoyed it. I do have to say that we've talked about it before, but the filming of the season way surpasses the other seasons. I don't know if they got a new showrunner, what's going on, new director of photography, whatever you call it. Grips, maybe they got some new grips. I don't know. But it looks amazing. Just everything about this episode looks amazing. And the story, we've talked about this before, especially with The Walking Dead. I know Adam and I have talked about this, how you could probably do half the episodes in a season and get rid of the other half because they're filler. There is no filler in Stranger Things right now. I don't consider anything to be filler. It's all driving the story where it needs to go, and that's amazing. I love
it. All killer, no filler. You know what?
Exactly.
Speaking of, not to change the subject or anything, but Walking Dead just dropped a trailer that they're having a Walking Dead movie with Rick Grimes returning.
Yeah, yep. 3 of them. They have 3 Rick Grimes movies.
Okay, you guys aren't surprised by this. Okay.
No, because they announced it almost a year ago. But go ahead.
Breaking news.
Have you guys heard that they landed on the moon?
This is 50 years
wow.
ago. No, I don't know. More than that, whatever, how many years ago it was.
Anyway.
No.
I thought it was a good episode. Episode 3 was cool. I like that they kind of touched on the kids growing up, and even mm-hmm. flashing back to some of the older clips, you can see that the age difference, which I think is always a challenge when you're making these shows, just like Harry Potter with, okay, we're going to use these same actors. We better start recording this stuff. Boom, 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 boom. The kids aren't as tight-knit anymore, as tight-knit of a group. We've got all these kind of subplots going on.
It's because of chicks, dude.
And I really enjoyed Hopper grabbing the bottle from the waiter and saying, "I'll do whatever I want. I'm the chief of police." And
that was episode 2.
Yeah, and Adam did this earlier. He kept naming things for episode 2.
All right, so when we left episode 2, that's Hopper got stood up at the bar with the Chianti.
This was him confronting her on the whole thing.
Yep, and we find the life. We end up episode 2 with a lifeguard getting gobbled up by the monster.
No,
did you hear about the Demogorgon?
and then also with what was the very end? It's the at the mall they figure out that the Russian code, they said it came from Hawkins, which we believe now because we see that. And so this episode opens up and we're kind of thrust in the whole first part of this episode. It was fun, but I've got to say, I don't feel like, there were a couple moments that pushed the story forward, but it felt like it was just a kind of, here's some more 80s fun. Let's go down memory lane and let's relive a John Hughes movie. But
what are we talking about?
Talking about Max and Elle hanging out. They go have their date and Elle has a sleeping over. She's having Max sleep over, which Hopper comes home just stinking drunk from that bar after getting stood up. And he's furious because the door's shut and he hears music, thinks Mike is over.
I said 2 inches or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Okay. Kicks the door open. I said you're not supposed to, whatever. And it's Max and he's elated like, oh, yes, my plan is still working. And, of course, lets her stay the night, but doesn't realize they're playing spin the bottle on who Elle is going to spy on. Which that was kind of cool. And I will say, Jason, like you mentioned, Adam as well, this episode might be the most, I don't know what the right word is, the my favorite visual episode so far, because the whole thing takes place as this rainstorm kind of descends on Hawkins and then goes into the evening and into the night. We get mm-hmm. a lot of those awesome scenes where Elle is in the nowhere land or whatever, you know, whatever it's called, when she's walking on essentially like glassy water.
Yeah, did they ever explain what that is? You know, because she goes into like a sleep, or not a
well,
sleep.
Well, she's awake, yeah.
But it's originally she was going into one of those things, those tanks, and then they were doing a bathtub, and then now she's just putting on a blindfold and listening to static.
Yep, and she can just jump in there, and it's a really cool visual effect they do where they've got everything just blacked out except for her and the reflection of her on the water and whatever she's trying to see. And, you know, we see her peek on a couple people and she spies on, you know, Mike and the guys, and they're talking about, you know, women being another species and all this stuff. Sorry. Up to that point, it was just kind of like, whatever. You know, visually it looked good, but it didn't really do much on the story side for me personally. But then we see her spy on Billy. Mm-hmm. Yep. And Billy turns around and he can see her.
That's when it really picked up for me, when he turns and kind of sees her.
Right. And he's like, what the heck? And she freaks out and something's wrong. And that sends Elle and Max on, you know, that's the name of this episode, The Case of the Missing Lifeguard. That's kind of the main story of this episode. Number one, they're going to find out what happened to this lifeguard. They end up figuring out who it is and go to the house. And there she is with Billy and her and the parents, all having a good old time.
But all super nicey and weird.
Right. Yeah, and Billy is not that nice, so you know something's going on.
Yep.
His sister should have picked up on that, because every interaction we've seen between those two has been hostile.
He
is like being super nice to her.
But there's one exception, because she makes a lot of references to how he gets quote-unquote weird when he's with a girl, and there's a lot of strange stuff you might see. She's warning Elle. And if you remember last season when Billy is kind of schmoozing Mrs. Wheeler, he's this same way. He's very charming, you know, very much a 80s ladies man, you know, young, you know, heartthrob kind of character. And that's what he's turned on here. So for her, I don't think she felt it was anything unusual for him, because she figured he was just, you know, putting on the charm for this lifeguard girl that he likes and trying to, you know, please her parents or whatever.
I guess. But I saw right through the facade.
Well, so did Elle, right?
Oh,
She knew what was up. So,
and,
go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you were talking about she's spying on them, and that's where one of the really funny scenes are, is when she's spying on the boys, and like you said, she does hear them say that another species and stuff, but then she's seeing what guys do when they're alone, the burping and the farting.
I thought that was pretty funny.
It was great because it's accurate.
It is.
I know. I mean, every time I was over at your guys' house, that's what you did.
Yep.
And to say you guys is like you two live together. Weird. I don't know.
Yep. Back in when we were, I was
in the 80s.
Belky Bartaku's cousin Larry.
Cousin Larry. So, other things that actually push the story along, so it started picking up with the whole Billy thing. It's like, all right, starting to get interesting. What's going on? Because so far, these episodes have been a little bit slow to get rotten.
No, man, I've been loving them.
Cool. And that's great. They're not bad. I'm just
every
saying.
Minute of them.
So, Joyce,
I like to turn that dial all the way.
Yeah. Joyce isn't taking Hopper's anger seriously.
Oh my gosh.
At the whole thing. She doesn't care. She is so focused, laser focused on why her magnets aren't sticking that she they go and finally break into the old place. And then Hopper just receives an ultimate beatdown.
Well, yeah, that was brutal.
By Dave's Russian.
Yep. And you go in there, and I thought that was really cool how another case of, you know, throwing back footage from last season where they walk in and she's frozen in that spot where she watched Samwise get chomped down.
Samwise.
What the heck was his name? Bob. Bob gets eaten up last season. But yeah, that was a beautiful shot thing. And you're waiting to find, like, I know after I had made the prediction, I was like, oh, I was wrong. It's not under the mall. But maybe they're there. And then there was nothing there. And I was like, ah, heck, you know. And all of a sudden, they hear something, and Hopper's investigating. You think, ah, it's just an animal or something. And this Russian puts the boots to Hopper. Like, he's trying to fight.
All right, everybody, you heard
that
here first. Dave from the Digital Soup Podcast thinks all Russians are animals. All right, go.
No, he... Oh, jeez. No, he... It was a classic, like, Rocky Apollo Creed fight. Like, that Russian was like Ivan Drago and just beat the daylights within an inch of his life to
Did
Hopper.
He even get a shot?
No, and it was... I thought the way they did that fight scene was so awesome. Like, just the way it felt, because... That guy is just pounding him in the kidneys and, you know, everything else. He jumps him from, you know, behind, basically, and just pounding on him. And Hopper ends up being able to spin around once or twice, and he throws a punch, but it's just a wild haymaker. And he's all off balance. He doesn't even know where he is. And that guy just made short work of him, kicks out his leg, and is out the door on the motorcycle in time for Joyce to see this motorcycle drive off.
Now, that was the guy from the first episode that, like, lifted a guy up by his neck, right?
Yep, I think so. And
super tough, dude.
That's also the guy that Hopper bumped into at the bar when he was drunk as he was leaving, saying, I'm a chief of police. He was there as well. And we saw him wandering around Hawkins in the mall at one point, too.
Well, and I guess he also came out of the mayor's office, because that's a big part of a big scene.
Right. Not this episode, though.
Okay, well, see, because you guys maybe watched two in a row.
All right, I see the failings of my double episode.
So
I'm not only reaching back to episodes prior,
yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Never fear, I'll keep us on track. So Jonathan and Nancy.
Because you've seen the whole thing.
I have not. I focused on these two. I watched these two episodes twice, by the way, because I did watch them. I watched them further back. You know, earlier on our little vacation.
Oh, and you watched all of them at once?
No, did not watch all of them. But earlier, you know, right after Adam watched it, like it was last Sunday or Monday, something like that, I watched three and four, you know, day after, you know, one day after the next, and then I rewatched them just the other day over this weekend here. But Jonathan and Nancy, they think they've got this scoop, this story.
And they do, actually.
With the Rat Adventures, they've got photos. They've got everything else. So Nancy decides she's gonna go up against the man, literally, I guess. And she is marching in, you know, presenting her story, and they predictably laugh her out of the room.
Yep.
Another Nancy Drew reference. 80s, yeah.
Which I think they're kind of overdoing it a little bit.
Well,
what?
Well, I don't mean that. I just mean the attitudes of every single person in this news thing. It's like, you're a woman. Where's my sandwich? I mean, is it really?
Was well,
it,
and it's the thing to me is like it.
Don't
it's,
you remember, Adam?
I know they're no. they're trying to predict a, you know, a reality from the 80s, and I get that that's probably what it was like for women. But you know, when we talked about Anchorman before, and that does a similar thing, right? But they managed to do it in a way that is so tongue in cheek, funny. That it makes it an enjoyable part of that story, you know, where it's not mean-spirited, you know what I mean? Where this one, it's getting, yeah, because the rest of the show is so serious, it's not providing the comic relief that I think they're going for with that.
Yeah.
It feels like it's just, okay, I get it, yep, she's treated bad.
They're going to do it every time.
Yep, and so she marches in there with her story, they laugh her out of the room, and then we kind of jump to the guys, right? What the Mike and Lucas? Well, Will, Wizard. What do they call him? Will the Wise? Is that his name? When he's in his D&D character,
well,
he decides.
You are a little bit incorrect, because right after the whole thing with Nancy and Jonathan, we do go to Scoops Ahoy again.
Oh, that's right. What yeah. I've heard a girl I work with, the other loan officer where I work, she's seen the whole season, and I've forced her to not tell me about it, but. She always asks, like, okay, what episode are you on? And I tell her, and she's like, oh, what are the Scoops Troop up to at this point? And I was like, the Scoops Troop? What are you talking about? Apparently, that's what this crew of Dustin, Steve, and what's the girl's name? Robin?
Yeah,
the coworker,
so.
Robin, yeah. That apparently, they are known to people who have seen the series as the Scoops Troop. So, you know, I don't know if that's something that we're going to see later on officially, but or if it's just kind of the name of the group. But yeah, they were trying to figure out that. That's right. That was a scene that I thought was hilarious, where Steve and Dustin are going to go. They've decoded the mystery, so they're going to go find a Russian in the mall. And how do we go about finding Russians in the mall? by taking binoculars and hiding behind the plants at the in the kiosk in the middle of the mall and spying on everybody.
Yeah, just checking out the jazzercise ladies.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all done that before.
What did they say? No. Something like, we don't know exactly what do evil Russians look like? And they go right to literally blonde hair, a duffel bag, and they look intimidating. So, yeah, they follow the, what was it? Yeah, jazzercise. What was it? An aerobics instructor, right?
Yeah, and I love that he pulled out a literal old school huge boombox out of that. Classic boombox.
And then just proceeds to be the most, like, stereotypical, like, pop loving, like, what's the right word? Like, the music of that time. Like, what was the pop music huge? What is this? What year is this? 85,
the third season is taking place. I can't remember. There's a lot of good music in here, but I can't remember what it was now.
But it's like Olivia Newton-John kind of, you know, let's get physical, that kind of thing, you know. And he's just all into his jazzercise. So then they're kind of like, ah, crap, we're out. But hero of the day, Robin, figures it out.
Yeah, how is she so smart?
Well, I kind of think now,
here we go.
I almost don't want to make a prediction because you guys are just going to say, oh, you watched it already.
Oh, well, I mean, you've seen them all, so it's technically not a prediction.
I have not seen anything, but I think she's going to end up playing a very, very large role in the final.
I could go for a large roll right now.
I've got one around my waist, but
oh, he's offering you his roll, Adam.
No, that's not what I meant. No, I think she's gonna
put a little
play
butter on that, maybe.
I think she's gonna play a huge role in the final outcome of this season. I think she's gonna step up and become kind of like Steve in season one when he stepped up and really like saved the kids. I think she's gonna have a role on par with that, just massive and important as far as really being a crucial member of how they stop whatever is happening.
Mm. Yeah.
Now let's go back to the 90s here real fast.
The 90s.
Yes, let's go back to the 90s here real fast. I remember the three of us and a few other people hanging at my house playing some N64, probably some Mario Kart, etc. And probably a trailer came on for the movie The Sixth Sense. And, you know, it had been in the theaters for a few weeks, but none of us had seen it yet, or so we thought.
Wait,
and
then why do I feel like this is a setup just saying I watch stuff and then tell you
the
ending?
Then Dave's all like, hey, I bet you Bruce Willis is dead the whole time.
He
and we're
did
like,
that?
What? Where do you even get that from this trailer?
No,
he's like,
I did not.
I just bet you he's dead. Mister, I watch things and then predict things that actually happen because I've seen it.
Dave's only gotten the one so far.
Yeah, I've been right on one.
Don't be gun shy while giving those predictions, because if you start to nail them, and
then I'm going to get teased
then we'll just disbelieve you more, but it'll still be pretty impressive.
Well, it's to the
I believe you. I'm
it
kidding.
Got to the point though, honestly, where I started wondering like. Do I watch stuff weird? Like, do I the way like, I
you no, you do I mean, watch like, everything nude? That's
no, I mean like the when I'm watching a movie or a show, do I see it? Do I see it like way different than normal people or than what you guys are seeing? Because it just seemed I don't know
well,
why.
See, you watch movies like you're playing chess, where we're just enjoying the moment. You're always trying to think three or four moves ahead. That's
well, I'm
so
enjoying
stupid.
It.
Just enjoy the movie.
I thoroughly
or
enjoy it.
Or a television show in this case.
And I really, but I notice a lot visually. I don't know. Maybe it's just the photographer creative side that kicks in and I can't help it, but whatever. But yeah, I think Robin is going to play a very critical role in how this
whole. You want me
whole
to ask my daughter? She's seen
no,
all,
don't.
She's
I don't want to know.
Season three times now.
I do not want to know. So they go off. They're looking
you
for the
Russians.
You don't
have an inquiring mind then, I guess.
I don't. I want to be able to just enjoy it a week at a time. But
all right, let's get to the boys.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Will is having a bit of a meltdown. He's kind of the late bloomer of this friends group, I guess you'd say. And he is upset that his friends.
Stupid girls.
Yeah, he's upset that his friends. You know, all they want to do is spend time with girls and talk about girls and all this stuff, and they don't want to hang out anymore. And so he organizes a no girls day.
Yep.
Where they're going to sit and do a brand new D&D campaign, and he wakes them up like super early in the morning, full wizard garb. And Mike and Lucas.
Remind me of Dave.
Yeah, probably.
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, I never did D&D back when I was that young. I did it later in life, but never wore any wizard garb.
Hey, Dave. Hey, can I talk to Will here real fast?
Will. Can you talk to Will?
Yes, Will. I want to talk to you man to man here, Will. Now, I know it seems like right now that, you know, all of your friends are, you know, they just... You know, leaving because of girls. You're no longer playing the D&D. You're no longer watching your 80s movies, even though you don't call them 80s movies. You just call them movies right now. But
I'm going to go watch some 2019 movies pretty soon. Yeah.
So I'm just going to let you know that, you know, after a few years, girls come and go. All of a sudden, the guys will be back to playing the video games and the D&D. Don't worry. It always happens.
I'll tell you what, though, Jason. I think you really showed your age there.
Why?
Because nowadays you would say, look, Will, don't worry about it. Stick with it. Keep doing what you're doing because all the hottest girls are going to be geeks anyways. And you're going to be running campaigns for just the hottest chicks around while your friends are busy, you know, hanging out in bars. So you'll probably have some expensive, you know, super wealthy, you know, job where you get paid a lot of money because you're super smart. And you're going to be thought of as super cool because right now in 2019, the geeks rule the world.
Do they?
Sure.
I don't know. I think Thor kind of rules the world.
Well, not for long. That's a different story. You saw what they're doing, the next Thor, right?
Well, She-Thor.
They're going to Lady Thor.
Yeah.
And I know it's offensive to women, I guess. I learned this on the internet that we shouldn't call her Lady Thor because we don't call him when he's Thor. We shouldn't call him Man Thor. Although, you know, why do we have to put a lady in front of it?
You know what, if she's really good, he might be Man Thor.
Yeah, but, but that's his name is Thor.
Well, and that's the thing. It's his name.
Dudes, that was a great joke.
It was, but people were honestly outraged over this. Then, and even to the point where Taika Waititi, who's directing the next Thor, who did Ragnarok, also said, no, it's not Lady Thor, it's the Mighty Thor. And we're getting Natalie Portman back as Jane, picking up the hammer. I think it's cool. They did it in the comics, so it'll be fun. But anyways, the guys have a meltdown. Mike and Lucas are kind of just like, yeah, okay, we'll do this campaign. And one of them was like, oh, that's easy. I'll just do this thing and sacrifice myself, burn down everything. We wipe out all the bad guys and we save the village. Boom, problem solved. We sacrifice ourselves for the greater good. Now, can we get back to the girls? And Will is irate. And he gets on his bike, storms out of the house, gets on his bike in the pouring rain, and flies home. And that's the only problem I had with this is when he was there outside talking with Mike, it was like late afternoon, you know, it's still light out. He doesn't live that far away from Mike. And by the time he got home, it was pitch black. And he's
out. So where did he go?
Well, and he goes out back to his, what does he call it? Buyer's... Palace
Fort
or
Byers?
Fort Byers, something,
yeah,
like that.
Something like that.
He's out there.
Castle
in his,
Byers.
Castle Byers. Yeah, he's out there in his stick fort, and it is like midnight, pitch black. And he's tearing stuff down. It's so stupid. And then we kind of skip from there back to 11 and Max as they go, you know, further digging into the mystery of the lifeguard. But what else are we missing here in the you know, big storylines?
Well,
is there a group of friends
Billy
that
we're
missing?
Billy and Heather kidnap her parents and bring them to the whatchamacallit.
Nope, not in this episode.
To the whatchamacallit?
Cool. They do take the.
Nope.
They take them.
No,
yeah, remember they
no,
beat
they
them
don't.
Up.
They don't. They yeah, that, that's the cliffhanger at the end. Yeah, after Elle and Max leave, they've slipped something into the mom's drink or food, and she goes walking to the door and passes out. The dad goes over to see what's going on and gets knocked out. And that's where that one leaves. That's where that episode drops off for their victims for the mind flayer. But what we forgot is that Nancy and Jonathan, after they get in trouble with the newspaper, they go back and decide to stick with their story, and they go visit Mrs. Driscoll, the old lady.
Is that this episode or is that the next episode?
That's this episode. And they find her right at the end. Even though the bosses don't believe her, they knock, no answer. So they go on in and they find her in the basement, stark raving mad, eating fertilizer. Yeah.
And that's when they're driving her to the hospital, and they pass by that steelworks place, and she like reaches out to it, like,
Yep, that's at the very end, And so I think that's this episode, and so we see the whole ending happens real fast, and that's a comment I was gonna save for the next episode when we talk about that later at the end of this episode, but. Have you? I know you said everything's story driven, but to me, this feels like there's a whole lot of like, okay, yeah, there's stuff going on, but when you really look at it, there's nothing really happening. And all of a sudden, big story beats happen, just like bam, 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 because Will finds out in the forest, he gets a feeling, he knows the Mind Flayer's back. That same time, Jonathan and Nancy find Mrs. Driscoll eating the fertilizer, and then it cuts immediately, bang, right over to the Scoops people. That's when they see the armed guards, and they
now,
get
caught up
there.
Do you think we'll ever get the proper name for these creatures? I mean, because the Demogorgon and Mind Flayer and stuff, that is all D&D stuff.
Yep,
do you think we'll ever get the actual names?
I don't. I think they're going to stick with these because it's... If you think
about... It kind of makes sense that there are no names for this stuff.
Right.
No, but if it ever comes, because we know the creatures start to speak, maybe they'll have names.
Hi, I'm Ted.
Richard. From accounting. No, I think, though, I don't think we will. I think we're going to see him named after all the D&D stuff because the people, the perspective of this story is being told through the eyes of these kids. And these kids are the ones basically giving the names to the monsters.
Yep.
And the only one that refer to these monsters by those names are the kids and Joyce and I was going to say Hobbs, but not Hopper is who I'm thinking.
Calvin. Yeah, Hobbs.
Exactly. So we see all that and then bam, this episode ends. Visually though, episode 3, just stunning. Beautifully lit, everything.
Oh yeah, I loved it.
But honestly, I felt like there was a lot of like...
Shut it. I don't want to hear you say it.
I am going to criticize a little because I felt like it's getting heavier and heavier on the 80s for 80s sake. It feels like it's wasting time.
That's
on
what people love, though, about it. They love that it's capturing that decade.
But it's
doesn't
not,
drive the story.
Well, it's not driving the story to me necessarily, but what it's doing is... It feels like it's too heavy-handed. Like, they're not just letting this story be set in the 80s.
It's almost like they're wearing a Nintendo Power Glove.
Well, yeah, and they're making the fact that it is the 80s, and, oh, look at all these cool 80s things, almost making it a character in the story.
Well, that's what I was saying, was it last episode or the one before? Hey, remember this thing? Remember this thing from the 80s? Which, it's great, but, okay, we get it.
Yep, at that time, it hadn't really clicked yet in the episodes, but in episode 3, it started to feel a little heavy-handed. And I have a feeling it's only going to get stronger. So.
Well, why don't we take a short break from that and talk about cutting the cord?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Did you have another kid?
I had a food baby earlier.
But I'm talking about getting... that's nice.
Did you have to cut the cord for that food baby?
Nope, clean break.
Sweet.
Wow. Awesome. Have you guys actually cut... You guys aren't using cable anymore, right?
No.
Nope, I haven't had cable.
I haven't
cable
used cable in quite a few years. Dave, even longer.
Yeah, it's
so
been
how
close
are you guys,
to 10.
So let me ask you guys this. What have you done to cut the cord? How are you supplementing like your local stations, like local news and stuff? Are you going over the air? Are you doing streaming services? What are you guys doing for that stuff?
You go first, Dave. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, what I did is I went up in my attic, actually, and I installed this 5-antenna array. And it basically is pointing every direction.
Can it get Russian transmissions, possibly?
Only if they're coming from the mall.
That's sweet.
No, I didn't do that. I basically, for the local stuff, I have a small indoor antenna, and that picks up, I think I get like 7 or 8 channels. I get the local.
Oh, wow. What's the quality?
HD. Well, I should say it's full high def on 2 or 3, like the main ABC, and I get 3 other. There's ABC and then 2 other versions, like a MeTV, the oldies television, and another one that's like, it's not all oldies, but it's like all cop shows, like Law and Order and that kind of stuff.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So I get those 3, and ABC is in full high def. And if the shows are available, whatever they're broadcasting on those other 2, obviously MeTV isn't. That's all old shows. But on the, I don't know what, I can't remember what it's called, but on the cop channel or law channel, whatever you want to call it. Some of those shows are new enough where they're broadcasting in full HD as well. And then we get Fox and like three or four PBS channels. So that's
so no
that's
like local. NBC or CBS.
No, and that's where you know if I did go and set up like a separate antenna, I could actually do that and run a cable, and I could pick up NBC and CBS. Problem is where I'm at, the antennas that pick up the stations I get, the bulk of them are all facing one direction. Mm-hmm. And NBC and CBS are the exact opposite direction. So in order to get that, I have to physically move the antenna and put a longer cable on it up to a window on the other side of the house. Then I can get those, but I lose the other ones. For me, it's not a huge deal, but so, you know, because I just don't watch a lot of regular TV anyway.
Well, at least you can get some over the air.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, where I live, there is nothing available.
Really?
Yeah, it's I'm too far away from whatever's broadcasting. I haven't personally tried it, but when you go online, there's different websites where you can check over the air availability. And when I put in my address, it's nothing. I don't know if it's because of the hills around or what it is, but I can't get anything here, so I haven't gone that route. But go back. So what are you doing for everything else, then, Dave?
Everything else is pretty much running through a Roku. I have one on my main television on the main floor living room, and then one in my office down here, and that's pretty much Netflix and Amazon Prime, which is
no Hulu.
I have it. My wife has it because of her Spotify or something, but I don't. I just never really watch Hulu that often. Every now and then there'll be a specific program I want to see, so I'll watch it. But
what's cool about Hulu though is they call it next day television. So if it airs tonight, you'll be able to see it tomorrow.
Right.
Which is decent. And they do have a live TV component, but it's much more expensive than just the standard Hulu.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and I have done like what did I do? I'll do the trials of certain ones when there's a show I really want to see. You know, I think I did a CBS All Access trial because I wanted to watch, I can't remember what was out on there that I wanted
Star
to see.
Trek?
No, it wasn't
Discovery?
No, it wasn't that. I forget what it was. You know what? It might have been actually. It might have actually been football. But I'm not sure.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Towards the end of last season, there might have been a Vikings game I wanted to see, so I signed up for a trial just to watch that one game. But I mean, I'll do that from time to time. But
it would have been awesome if it was blacked out.
Yeah. Oh no.
Well, it was a free trial. But other than that, I mean, I don't really watch a ton of live TV, and it's kind of a situation where you start paying for so many different services, well, you might as well just get cable.
Yeah, you back right up to it.
Yep.
What do you pay? What do you pay, if you don't mind us asking, for your internet a month?
Oh, that's a good question. It's like 50 something a month.
Okay.
Right around 50.
And then your streaming services that you do pay for, how much is that a month?
Well, Amazon,
I guess what I'm trying to get at is, what's your grand total? Are you paying?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say between everything, probably around, well, Netflix and Amazon. I have Amazon Prime, so that's just included. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where I'm not paying anything extra for that because I already had Prime. But Netflix is what, I forget what that is a month, $14 a month or something like that.
It just went up again.
Yeah, whatever that's at, and than the internet, so I suppose like 60 or so, maybe 70 a month.
That's not bad. Then that's cheaper than having cable.
And I would have had definitely. That. I have internet anyways. I would have had that whether we had cable or not. So
yeah, and cable. I don't know who you have over there, but I know our cheapest cable packages over here is like $50.
Yeah, it's pretty similar here.
All right, what you got over there, Adam?
Well, I put up an over the air antenna that I just picked up at Walmart. But mounted it inside my garage and wired it into the house. So I get probably 20 to 30 channels over the air, but only a handful of those are really worth watching. You know, the big four networks I do get, because I'm only an hour out from Twin Cities in Minnesota. So the antennas, as the crow flies, about 59 miles from the tower. So I get pretty good there. Other than that, it's just good.
Can Can I ask you a quick question here? Because I haven't done an over-the-air antenna since back in the analog days where, you know, it can get snowy depending on the weather and stuff. With a digital over-the-air, how is it? Is it perfect?
Well, most of the stuff comes in HD, but with digital, it's either working or it's crap. So it's
like pixelated.
All of a sudden, it'll it'll pixelate. The picture will break up, but in a digital way, it's not like snow where it's fading in and out like the
old
analog
so sort of
stuff.
Like when I had like Dish Network or DirecTV, heavy rainfall. And
same thing. Yep.
I'd compare it that way. And sometimes it's the sky's blue and everything's fine and it's happening, and it's really strange. I should probably mount it up high. I'd prefer to mount it outside, higher up than inside, because the signal has to go through a lot of stuff, you know, when it's mounted indoors. But Amazon Prime, Netflix, and my kids also have a subscription to that Boomerang, which is like all the Hanna-Barbera cartoons and stuff like
that. Wow, they're watching some classics, huh?
Yep, some of the old school classics, yeah.
And what kind of hardware are you using?
One Roku, one built-in TV with the apps.
Smart TVs is horrible.
My Samsung is just fine and dandy.
We have a Vizio upstairs, and the kids will use that because I don't want them. Like we talked about, I use the Roku app for everything, and they use the smart TV for Netflix and stuff. And that Vizio TV, it is terrible, just awful.
Yeah, and I have a new 4K television, which is a smart TV, and I've never used it. I have a streaming device I plug into it. It's so slow. Whatever processor, and they must use like a single core running at like 2 megahertz. Yes, I said megahertz. I mean, it's just horrible. But back to you, Adam. Sorry.
No, that's about it. That sums it up for me.
All right. Well, for me over here, just like you guys, cut the cord. And we have our internet, which I pay about $60 a month. I get really fast internet, you do have to pay for it. It's quite expensive. And this isn't even the fastest package anymore. I have the 100 megabit, but now I guess they have a 400 megabit, which they were trying to sell me on not too long ago. And I'm like, I don't need anything faster. And then I don't have any over-the-air stuff. Like I said, I can't get it. It just... I should try it sometime just to see if all that online stuff is, you know, misleading. But, you know, when it tells me that I'm not going to get any signal, I'm not going to waste the money on it. Mm-hmm. I've tried a lot of different streaming services for the longest time. I bet you a couple of years I used Sling TV, which is amazing, has a great interface, has some great channels. It just didn't have the networks for me. They're in so few of cities. And I mean, I live in a big area here. You know, you think I'd be able to get Cleveland or Columbus or something, those local feeds for the networks, but no, they don't have them available here. And so that's the only thing I didn't really like about that. I love that it had the NFL, the Red Zone.
Sure.
That was awesome. That's the only service I've ever had Red Zone on, so I kind of miss it. But what I have been using for probably the last year or so is YouTube television. And I tried a lot of them. I tried Hulu. I tried that PlayStation View. There were some other ones, too. I tried like smaller named ones. But YouTube television has the best networks. I mean, it has all the major networks and all local to me, all the Cleveland locals, and just a ton of other channels. And what's really nice is you can have like 5 streams at once with YouTube television. So, you know, you have multiple televisions and tablets, etc. You can all be streaming up to 5 at one time. It has unlimited DVR service. So on any of these TVs or tablets, you can record stuff. You could watch them on any of them. You can even watch it on multiple ones, which is really nice. Wow. And I pay, they did just raise it. I believe it's $55 a month now. So it's starting to get up there. When I started, it was $40. So you can see how, you know, what all these companies are doing. I mean, Netflix keeps raising theirs. They're all raising them. So pretty soon, we might just need to go back to cable. I don't know. But I do really enjoy YouTube television, and I highly recommend it. Now, for hardware-wise, I've been Roku all the time. Just constantly. Everything, we have a Roku 2 on my 4K television down here, Roku 3 upstairs on the main television, and then I have a Roku stick in the bedroom. Anybody that knows Roku knows I'm several generations behind. They don't call them Roku 4s or 5s, anything like that, but now they're like the Ultras or Roku Ultimate. I can't remember what they are. Like, Dave has one newer than mine. I think maybe they did have Roku 4, but after 4, they started doing different names. Do you have a Roku 4, Dave?
Yep, mine's a 4.
Or is it called a Premiere? It is a 4?
I'm pretty sure it's a 4. But I think in the 4, they had the 4, the 4 Plus, the 4 Premiere. I think they went with those designations in that setup.
And, you know, I've been wanting to get a new one for my 4K television because, like I said, I still have the Roku 2 on there. And it still works great. But what I didn't like about the Roku 2 was that it was a direct line of sight remote. It wasn't one of those Wi-Fi remotes like the 3 and, you know, 3 and up have, where, you know, you could be, you know, you could have it under your shirt, under your arm, and change channels. Where with the Roku 2, you had to point
it
right.
You normally put your remote under your arm.
I was gonna say, wow. Yeah.
I'm gonna put this in my shirt.
I'm just saying, you could, you know, you go into another room, anything, and do it because it's all via Wi-Fi. So I really wanted a 4K one and a faster, newer one. But man, the cheapest 4K I believe was $100, $99 for the Rokus, and they had a special 3-day deal. I got the notification from Amazon on the Fire Stick 4K. And I'm like, oh, let me check this out because it was on, check this out, $25. The 4K one. Now, this is nice. The one that has, it's a Wi-Fi remote. It's the brand new one that has the power button and volume. It automatically set itself for my TV. I didn't have to do anything, and I could turn it on and off with the, Fire Stick remote. And control the volumes and mute, and it all works perfectly. Plus, Alexa's built in. You actually hit the Alexa button on there and say, Alexa, play the Stranger Things on Netflix. Right. And it would launch Netflix and launch Stranger Things. I haven't messed with that yet. I just, you know... Oh, dang it. Stop it, Alexa. I forgot.
You did it again, just like episode 2.
But... It was $25. It's back up now. I believe it's still reasonable. It's only like $50 or so, full price. But oh man, is this worth it? It is just a breeze. It's 4 cores. So I mean, it just goes lickety split. And here's the thing. I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but the same with the Kindle Fires, they're all running Android, but they're just heavily the UI is. Yeah, they run their own interface on it, so you don't know it's Android.
Yeah,
but you can, and I've already done some of it. I've had to sideload the YouTube TV app because it's not officially supported on it, but it's Android. So I just, you know, sideloaded it. Works perfect. You can play any Android game on here, and it has built-in Bluetooth, so you can use your Bluetooth controllers, and you can grab all of these tablet games and play them on your big 4K television. Some of the games are dumb, but I mean, some of those games are pretty good. They have some great graphics, and now you have a gaming system.
You're going to go swipe your TV, though.
No. It has Bluetooth, so you're able to actually use a Bluetooth gaming controller with those games.
Oh, okay.
No, you're not touching your screen. But anyways, so that's what I do for my cord cutting. And, get yourself some good hardware, get yourself a good service. Of course, there's other services out there that you can get that you don't have to pay anything for. We're not going to tell you how to do that, but you can search it online. There's just all kinds of ways to get your television without having to go to, is it called Ma and Pa Bell or is that Telephone?
Well,
that's Telephone.
Back okay, when you
I know
were
there's
a kid.
Pac Bell, NV Bell, and SW Bell. What? Yeah, okay. When I was a kid.
Yeah, when you
remember,
were a
I used
kid.
To have that party line, and I used to go, I hit the little thing, and I go, operator, can you connect me to Petticoat Junction, please?
I don't remember that.
Oh, you don't? Oh, yeah, I am pretty old.
Okay, I think, guys, we should probably talk about some app recommendations.
Do we have to?
It's that time. Digital Soup app
recommendations. All right. Well, let me go first because, you know, I'm just so conceited. Anyways, my app recommendation for this week, wow, this is so weird, but it's called Stranger Things the Game. And I just installed this today. This is awesome. I can't remember. I think Dave talked about this once on one of the episodes here.
Long time
and,
ago, yep.
Yeah, and I didn't try it out. Well, no, this is for season three, I believe. So
it's probably
maybe it's
updated,
a,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's a newer one. But it is awesome. It completely captures the look and the feel and the sound of like an 8-bit NES game. But it's an RPG. It's so cool. You start out in your Hopper. This is taking place in the mall and all this other kind of stuff. And what's so cool is you play as each of the characters. Like, you rescue the characters. You find them. Think of the Goonies. Did you guys play the Goonies game on the 8-bit NES?
Long time ago, yeah.
Actually, it was called the Goonies 2. But it so reminds me of that. Now, not a side-scroller. This is like a top-down, isometric.
Zelda type. Kind of looking.
Yeah, like Zelda. And yeah, and it scrolls one screen at a time, just like Zelda.
Yep,
and
this is the same one. Stuff. This is the same one. I'm looking at it now. Same one that I had talked about a long time ago, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you know what? So I'm stealing it from a long time ago. But I just started playing it today, and I fell in love with this game. I actually broke it, too. I posted that up on Twitter. And if any of our listeners are following us on Twitter, I even captured a screenshot. But the game is so much fun. And Hopper, his special attack is he has his major punch that he can do, which is pretty cool. And then Lucas, he has a slingshot.
Yep.
And, you know, you're shooting different things. Like, there's some puzzles where you have distance, you know, like maybe there's like a pit and there's a lever on the other side of the pit where you use him to do it. Now, I've only done those two characters right now. I haven't gotten any farther into the game. Like I said, I just installed it, but I had so much fun with it that I'm like, this has to be my recommendation here. And here's a cool thing about this. This is available for free on Android and iOS. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice any in-app purchases or anything, but it is completely free on the mobile. Now, there is a Windows and Mac OS version via Steam only. You can't get it outside of Steam, but it's $20. And the graphics are updated over what this looks like. It's still retro looking, but it does look better. But, I mean, you could play it completely free on Android and iOS, so do you want to buy the $20 Steam one? I don't know. Maybe if you don't have a mobile device, possibly. But that's my recommendation, and it's fun. And Adam, it sounds like Dave has played it way back when, because Dave let us know like 3 or 4 years ago he played it.
Not so we're really it was last to the game. Season.
Well, no, he predicted that the game was going to be coming out 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh.
But Adam, I do recommend you give this a try, because this seems right up your alley, too.
All right, I'll have to do that.
All right, what's your recommendation, Adam?
Well, speaking of things being late, my recommendation is from a company called GP International LLC under the health and fitness category. And because I didn't have an app today, Jason made this recommendation on my behalf. It's called Period Tracker. And this is one of the easiest ways to track your periods, ladies. So, I mean, you press a button at the start of your period every month, and then it logs your dates and calculates the average of your past 3 months' menstrual cycles to predict the start date of your next one. And it's filled with features, including taking daily notes of your mood, symptoms, and intimacy. So, I mean, it's kind of got a lot of stuff, and it's highly rated, 4.5 stars out of 5, with over 340,000 reviews. So definitely check this one out. And one of their newest updates, they're including advanced cycle predictions to make Period Tracker's period predictions more accurate than ever. And it uses your fertility notes to more accurately predict your periods. So,
will this tie into a smartwatch?
You know, that's a really good question, Dave. Let me just check and see if it will, because I'm not seeing that it does. But it is available on both iOS and Android, and it's also forcing me to never not have an app again to recommend, because I'm literally talking about Period Tracker on the podcast.
Well, you know, this is something that you could, you know, get your daughter as she gets older.
Stop talking now.
I'm just saying it's going to happen, and this would be great for her.
That's... Shut up.
Shut it. All right, Dave, what's your recommendation?
That's embarrassing.
All right, so embarrassing. It's a fact of life.
I mean, you take
the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and then you have the facts of life.
I will kind of fall on the side of Jason there, although I don't think I wouldn't label a period as bad. It's a natural thing, but I don't know. I grew up in a household where I was the only boy other than my dad, so I'm used to that stuff, couple sisters and all that. It doesn't bother me. But Great app recommendation there. But you guys know I love I love trivia. And I've been completely addicted to a new app, and I believe this one is available on all platforms. It's a quiz app. It's simply called Quiz Up, all one word. And it, yeah, it's available on Google, Android, iOS, all of that. And you can do like just, you play head-to-head against other people. If you want to play head-to-head against your friends, you can do that. And literally, you type in whatever topic or subject you want to, you know, play trivia on, and there's probably going to be something there. I mean, I typed in Metallica. There was like 40 different trivia boards, and then you get rankings. And the idea is you have to answer the questions not only correctly, but fast. The faster you answer, you get more points if you're the first one in. And there's a timer. You get like 10 seconds, and the more time you can leave on the clock, it gives you a little bonus. And so it is just very fast paced and very, very addicting and super fun if you're into trivia. So I highly recommend Quiz Up.
Can you please recommend it the proper way for us, though, Dave?
What do you mean?
Could you sing Quiz Up a la Word Up?
No.
Please, come on.
I can't.
All you quiz aficionados around the world, there's a real application that'll make you
twirl.
Quiz up.
It's, who is it that sang that?
Oh,
I have no idea.
What is it? Was it Word Up?
Yeah, it was Word Up, but I can't remember who sang
Cameo.
That. Oh, that's probably what it was.
Yeah. I do highly recommend it. If you guys want to find me on there, shoot me a message. I'll let you know how to find me, and we'll play some quiz show challenge, digital super reigning champion style. And
we can do that. Hey, now we have crested the 1 hour mark, so we're actually going to do like a rapid fire episode 4 breakdown. What do you guys think?
I think that's fine, because this is an episode where,
well,
to
good
me,
thing, because Adam and I want to do it. It's 2-1.
I know. I'm fine with it.
Stop arguing with us, Dave.
I just think that this is a perfect episode for the point I was making earlier about a lot of stuff fills the episode, feels like there's a lot going on, but in reality, you can boil the whole episode down to like a paragraph.
I want to hear this paragraph.
Yeah, I want to hear your synopsis. Just go, Dave. Let's
All
hear
right,
it.
So Will and the boys issue a code red to L and Max because they know the Mind Flayer's back. L is aware of this too. They suspect it's Billy. They come up with a plan to stuff him in a sauna because they remember that heat is the enemy of the Mind Flayer. So they trick him, and the whole episode is them setting up to get him in the sauna. In the meantime, Hopper is recovering from his brutal beating, goes and pays a visit to the mayor, beats the tar out of him, kidnaps him, and forces him to give him information out of his safe, which they find out this secret company, it's going to end up being the Russians, as we know, is buying up all this land. They go to start investigating the properties, and they're going to find what's going on there as far as the power outages and all that on Magnet Watch. Lastly, the Scoops Troop, they find a way into the secret corridor because they convince Mike's little sister by bribing her with lifetime free ice cream to crawl through an air duct and get into the room. That way they're avoiding all the armed guards and everything else. And when they're in there, they find out there's a bunch of Ninja Turtles secret goo in these crazy looking canisters, and the elevator drops and we cut on them, and that's the end.
Mike's little sister?
Yeah, that's what I'm confused about.
Not Mike's little sister, Lucas's little sister.
Okay, there we go. I was going to go, adoption.
So that's
Adam, nutshell. Where can people hear us?
That was a pretty good synopsis.
It was. It sounded like you read it right off of I am Dave Bite.
Nope, that's straight off my head.
Whoa. Pretty cool. Okay. I do think I did enjoy the fight scene with L and Billy. Mm-hmm. Although I think he had a little too much strength.
Yeah,
that was a little scary.
He is scared of her, though. You know that, and I think the Mind Flayer is very scared of her too. Yep. Because she was pretty powerful in last season
when she was really giving it her all. They do a little flashback there.
Yeah,
I was gonna say one issue I do have about this is so Elle and Billy are fighting, correct? And you know, she's besting him for a little bit, but then he grabs the upper hand. Mike decides to hit him over the head with like a pipe or something. What is he thinking he's going to do?
It's funny. I swear I've heard that theory somewhere before.
I know. I wanted to say it before you did.
I swear someone said that was going to happen. I don't know where I heard that anyways, but
weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
He loves her. Young love. He's going to step in and try save his girl.
But it is kind of funny.
I got a question.
Yes, go ahead.
How in the world did Hopper think he wasn't going to get in trouble for literally beating the crap out of the mayor?
Well, he thinks he has dirt on him. Cocaine, I believe, is one. But he has dirt on him, too. So it's kind of like a tit for tat. So I'm not sure.
I think Hopper is just, he was in a state where he's being Hopper. He is furious. He almost was killed. And he's going to get to the bottom of who it is and why. You know, what is going on. Which is kind of funny that his whole goose chase with Joyce is taking them way away from both that other property, you know, the what do you call it, facility from last season, and away from the mall. If you think about it, they're buying up all these farms in you know, outlying areas around the town. I enjoyed those scenes.
Did you notice the boss that fired Nancy and Jonathan, kind of skipping over to that scene.
Yeah. He had been, about how sweaty he was?
He had been in... The Mind Flayer got him, right?
Yep. Yeah, so I know I gave you the speed rundown.
Where did I miss that?
So Heather, the lifeguard, her dad is the head guy at the newspaper. So disregarding my speed run, that's what's going on. So his parents are now part of the Mind Flayer's army. Well, he's all a sweaty mess, you know, like Billy was at the at the lifeguard station. And that's why they fire Nancy and Jonathan. So you guys are off. She goes home. Nancy and Jonathan are now fighting and possibly breaking up. But Mrs. Wheeler gives her the typical...
Do
your story. I believe in you. You can do it. And she's going to get herself killed. Nancy is. She's going to end up...
There's a prediction.
She's either going to get herself killed or she's going to get herself trapped by the Mind Flayer. One or the other. I am convinced of this.
So one of the things, the boss who had been kind of taken over is trying to convince them that Mrs. Driscoll was a paranoid schizophrenic.
Right.
So to kind of get them to back off their pursuits of the story.
Right.
See, I am so glad you told me that because I did not realize that was her father. I didn't know any of this. Now it makes so much more sense why he's trying to cover up the story with Mrs. Driscoll.
Right. And so to finish their story, where this episode ends, while Eleven and Billy are fighting and, you know, the Mind Flayer is going crazy and you see Billy like it's just flowing through him, almost transforming him in some way, you know, where I was expecting him to kind of just burst into one of these giant, you know, Mind Flayer monsters. But that whole time, Mrs. Driscoll wakes up as Nancy's in there pretending to be a granddaughter or something, trying to, you know, figure out more about her story. Mrs. Driscoll, her heart rate goes crazy, and she is like cardiac arrest, but fully awake and just screaming like the Mind Flayer, like Billy's doing. Because
They're like the Borg. They all have the shared consciousness.
Exactly. They're all linked, and I will not be surprised. And now I hate to even say this, but because I know
prediction.
I'm gonna get teased, but it will not surprise me if Nancy either has that Mind Flayer reach out to her right there in that hospital room, like burst out of Mrs. Driscoll's mouth and jump into her, or very nearly has it happen and she narrowly gets out of that room, you know, avoiding
it. You've already seen episode 5.
I have not seen anything. Jeez. Okay. All right. So with the other storylines, the biggest part of this episode, the best part to me, was the entire fight with Eleven and Billy. That was like just the moment of this whole episode. It was very cool. And she could have killed him.
And they're back together now?
Well,
at least I think so, because he holds her.
Yep. Yeah. You know, the one part I thought was funny, what do you guys think about this? You know, when they recruited Lucas's little sister, and they're sending her in there, and it's super dangerous. Did any of you guys feel like
child endangerment?
Well, they're making jokes about it, but did any of you feel like in a legitimate sense, like all of these kids, there's something wrong with them? I mean, they're seeing Russian armed guards.
Nobody's called
the cops.
They don't
get an adult.
They don't get an adult. They don't they don't think maybe we're out of our league here. They all are just like, no, we can do this. We got it.
But this is what happened in the 80s.
Yeah.
On the Goonies, what was the bad guy's names?
The Fratellis? The
Fratellis. Yep. Did they run to their parents about the Fratellis? No.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chunk, he escaped to try to get the police. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah. And then he was like eating all kinds of stuff.
Have you seen the Goonies?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I feel like I watch things differently.
No. Yeah, with you know,
differently from Jason. Yeah.
The difference is, Dave, when you're watching movies, unlike Jason, you don't have a device in your hand playing Ark.
Yeah, or Stranger Things.
By the way, I've this new build that I have going on, it is awesome.
Sweet. I did watch a short YouTube video of yours with your new build.
Did you like? Oh, this is a newer build, but what'd you think of those videos?
I only watched one. It was pretty good.
Sweet. You want to play, don't you? You want to get an iPad.
So,
do it. Okay, back to the show.
To finish up Stranger Things, episode 4, we see this whole thing end. Billy is nursing his wounds back at that weird factory. The lifeguard, Heather, is there, and he's real shook up, you know, saying, she almost killed me. She could have killed me. And Heather very coldly says, I know, but she can't kill us. And you think she's talking about the two of them. And then the camera zooms out slowly as we get to the credits. And
we see
there's quite an army already started there. There had to have been, 15, 20 people.
That's exactly what. Remember when he saw himself after he escaped the first time? He built it. And now it will come.
Yep. How would you guys rate episode 4? We're at the halfway point of this season. So episode 4 puts us starting the second
mid-season
half.
Mid-season finale.
Yep. Where do you put, two questions, where do you put season 3 compared to the first two seasons for you so far?
It's so tough because each season has been pretty different.
At this point, it's in third place for me.
Oh, really? Is first still the best?
Yep.
Yeah, it first season was amazing, but I am really enjoying the third season.
I have a feeling it's going to pick up. I've been told it's going to pick up as
by Dave, because he's seen
No, my brother watched the whole thing. He's like, oh, he got a mukshish.
Yeah.
Says it picks up. All right. That sounds awesome.
You know, listeners, I know we're teasing, but razz Dave a little bit on our Twitter, okay, about him, you know, watching them all and trying to play it off like he hasn't. I want to see some razzing. Gannon balls? Come on. I want to hear it.
No. I have not watched.
You'll
it.
Be general will not respond. Again if you don't.
I will not respond to any razzing tweets.
Ooh.
I won't do it.
Don't Jason do it. Don't might. Stoop.
Yeah, I won't. I won't do it because it's not true. Jason, for you, where do you rate this?
What am I? You out of the three?
Yep, season wise so far.
Well, I've only seen 4 into it.
You're halfway
visually,
through.
I really, really enjoy it. Like we've all been talking about, this is a greatly shot season here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how. We just have a part of the story, so I can't put it above the other two. And like Adam, I'm going to have to say 3 right now, but after the next 4 episodes, who knows? It might move up in its rotation. Okay.
So what do you think about episode 4 compared to the first, out of the first 4? Where does this fall for you, strength of episode-wise? Meaning between episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4 that we've talked
about. I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it. The first episode was a lot of fun. That was mostly a fun episode.
I think
it was
this one's the strongest one.
You think it's the strongest?
I
kind of like the third one a lot, which I don't think Dave did.
No,
but
I
enjoyed the third episode a lot.
I love the visuals in the third one. I started feeling in this one and in the third one, especially it seems like it's snowballing for me, and I hope it's not just something in my mind that's sticking there that's going to ruin it for me, but I feel like there is a lot of these moments where it on the surface, it feels really busy. There's a lot going on. But when you step back and look at what's really happening, it's taking a long time just to get to one event.
But you can't look at it as just, hey, I just want to find out how it ends.
Well, no.
It's the journey. It's they're creating art here.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is
you have to look at the music, you have to look at the way it's filmed, and just you appreciate every episode like it's like every episode is one of your babies.
Well,
you can't love one of your babies more than the other.
I get that, but what I'm saying is I feel like on the character development side, it's a whole lot of, look at us, we're developing characters when they're really not, and then all of a sudden the characters take these big leaps forward, and then you get to know them and you're hooked back in. For me, it's, and I haven't felt like it's been anything short of pretty predictable.
Well, clearly. Well,
which is,
because I mean, you know,
I guess,
how it ends.
I guess I don't know how it ends. I guess for me, maybe that's the trouble I'm having with it, is just that it feels very formulaic to me right now. And I'm hoping that it picks up and there's some twists coming. But
you know what? It does seem a lot like season 2 of the Brady Bunch. I am seeing that, the correlation between each episode.
It's almost identical shot for shot.
I mean, pretty soon.
What time
you know,
is it?
What's her
it's
name?
It's time for a kickoff.
That was a rude interruption there to my joke.
All right, so I'm gonna keep this very short because we had this kind of longer episode with two episodes of Stranger Things. I'm gonna give you guys just a very super highly recommended Netflix special that I really cannot recommend enough that you go watch immediately. Not just you two, but listeners as well. We, as you guys know, the three of us, we love movies. We love movie music. And on Netflix right now, there's a special that is called, is it Hans or Hans Zimmer? I'm not sure how you pronounce his first name. Hans Zimmer, he's the famed composer. He's done tons of the biggest hits, including all the Dark Knight trilogy, Da Vinci Code he's worked on. I mean, just a ton of movies. And he is taking his movie scores. And he's
did
got
he do
a
Back to the Future's music too?
I don't know if he did that one or not. Maybe. I don't know.
I'll look up while you're talking.
I can't remember. No. But he's taking all of his biggest hits. This show is on the road. Like, you can go watch it in concert. A full orchestra and a band. I say in a band because there's electric guitars, regular like bass and drums and everything else, along with all the orchestral instruments. And they put this concert together. It's called Hans Zimmer Live in Prague, and you can find it on Netflix. I cannot recommend that you watch this thing enough because it is amazing. Both visually, there's a cool light show. He does little stories between the songs every now and then, kind of giving you the backstory of what was happening when, and bring some special guests up. But the music itself, it's just the perfect thing. Throw it on either in some headphones or if you've got a good sound setup on your TV, crank up the music, dim the lights, and just enjoy, because it is like 2 hours and 20 minutes long, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood. But it is amazing. If you're into movie music, you have to see this.
That sounds awesome.
This guy, oh my gosh, I'm looking
he's
at
done
his body
everything.
Of work here. It is amazing.
Yeah, read some of it off.
What decade?
Exactly.
I mean, we can jump all the way up here. He did both the original Lion King and the brand new one.
Yep.
He did the music for Dark Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
Blade Runner 2049, Dunkirk. I'm just going backwards here.
Yep.
Because these are more modern movies. Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. I'm just going to pick some out here. Interstellar, The Amazing mm-hmm. Spider-Man 2.
He did music in Inception, I think, too. Oh, maybe no. It was Interstellar. I think. Yeah, that's
I'm
right.
Not. Yeah, Interstellar.
No, Hans Zimmer did Inception. Too.
Did he too? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man
that's
of
right.
Steel, The Dark Knight. Jeez, just everything. And let me go back to his very first feature film. Let me see what it is. Don't tell me, Adam. Okay, it was 1984. Success is the Best Revenge. I don't even know what that movie is.
I don't either.
First movie I know. Is Rain Man from 88.
Oh, okay.
That's the first one I know.
You know, one...
He did
one,
Twister. He did Black yep. Rain.
You know, the
Driving
other...
Miss Daisy. Can't remember the music in that, but...
The other cool thing about it is that when you think of, like, a composer like this, you picture them mm-hmm. standing up in front of it with their baton and just waving their arms, directing the orchestra as it goes. He comes out, he's in a nice suit and everything fancy. After, like, the first song, the suit jacket comes off. After the second or a couple songs in, next thing you know, he's literally wearing a t-shirt and slacks up on stage. But the coolest part is that he's doing that because he's getting warm, because he's not just up there directing. He's jumping from instrument to instrument, actually playing this music with his orchestra. I mean, he's on a piano, he's on a guitar, he's vocally doing stuff.
As the kids would
it
say,
is amazing. I've watched it probably two or three times now. And I know twice for sure, and I think I only got about half through the third watch, but it is just so good.
All right, awesome. Well, check it out. Check it out, everybody.
Good geek off.
what did we battle?
We didn't battle. I just wanted to give you guys a super geeky movie geek recommendation that I think everyone needs to see.
I like it. I like it a lot, and I'm going to check it out. So, guys, it is about that time for us to put the lid on the soup. So head on over to digitalsouppodcast.com to find everything you ever wanted to know about our podcast, us, the whole nine yards. We've got Apple Podcasts where you can subscribe and leave a review. We got Spotify, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher. You're going to find links to our Twitter, our Facebook, our Instagram, everything like that. So again, that's digitalsouppodcast.com. Tell a friend about us. Leave us a review. Come say hi on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. Have an awesome week, and we'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
It's the Digital Soup Podcast.